All right, guys, I'm the host today with the co-host.
Am I co-host
Sean?
Or guest?
I don't know.
What do you mean, Sean? Question mark.
And we're mostly speaking Zendai. Welcome to the podcast. Like I already fucking said, my name is Nicole.
Boosh.
Where's James, you ask? I don't know. You tell me, because for some reason he said, I'm not doing this episode.
Wait, I was told you wanted to do this. Hold on.
And I said, okay, I guess so.
Wait, hold on. Now I feel... When James contacted me to guest and or co-host this episode, said, Nicole really wants to do an episode with you. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but
you tell me James went missing several
didn't say
moments
that he
ago.
He had to leave. Or
you
maybe
said,
I did
who
and I
knows?
Just don't remember.
You just
that
said,
actually tracks.
Where is James? Who knows?
Yeah.
He told me I have to do this episode on my own.
Yeah.
And now James is missing.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we talk about Five Man or should we find James? That's right. Like, I really want to talk about this episode of Five Man.
Yeah.
Shit was crazy. But is James just like, what's the narrative
here? I mean,
here?
Okay, but since James isn't here, do we have to talk about Five Man though?
I mean, technically, absolutely not.
I mean, so guys, this is what happened. Everyone sang poorly the end.
Wait, hold on. I did not realize this. Okay, so we're gonna talk
did
about
you watch
Five
the
Man.
Wrong Wait. Episode is that what?
No, I watched dude the five man theme song is a fucking banger.
Okay, yeah,
I'm actually like, that's what this episode made
certified.
Me the first, it's so I want to start a pop punk band. Just so, I don't want to cover the full theme song. Mm-hmm. I just want in the middle of a different song to just bust out the wow, my brush out moment. Because it's a really cool, it's a really fucking cool line that if you're just listening to a random song about like evil hearts and blades of love, and then all of a sudden you think you listen to the bridge and it's like, cool, it's a guitar solo, whatever. And then there's a second bridge. And then it's, whoa, my brother, whoa, my sister. And then it's going to be the best band ever. I'm bringing back pop punk.
So instead of like, Stacy's mom has got it going on, it's, whoa, my brother, whoa, my sister. I'm in love with Stacy's mom.
Absolutely. Absolutely, that's all I want to do.
Okay.
We perform at a lot of corporate shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love it. They're like, this isn't a licensing issue at all. It'll be fine.
Have I ever talked about, there was a local band back home. I think they just got back together. Well-Worn Boot.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, they're kind of like an early 70s metal band meets Big Battle Kaiju. With a bunch of like Americana iconography. So like the guitarist was a horse. Now he's a wolf.
Okay.
There was a big evil baby. He played bass and he would sing backup in falsetto.
Sure.
But this was all done through paper mache. It was a very elaborate sort of, I remember back in Buffalo, they were the band that were like the go-to when GWAR would come through annually. They were the go-to openers because they were performative like that. And I remember one of their songs, it was called Big Bad Dick. Because he has a big, nasty penis.
Okay.
So he sings about it. And like right in the middle of the breakdown, all of a sudden it gets to the chorus from Nazareth. Nazareth is how do you add an S to the end of the word Nazareth?
Nazari.
Nazari. Yep. Perfect. This song by Nazareth or Nazari's song. Now you're messing with a son bitch. So it'd be, now you're messing with her. A tinfoil dick. He had a large tinfoil dick on stage with him.
Okay.
When he would perform it. So it'd be, now you're messing with a tinfoil dick. Now you're messing with a tinfoil dick. And I want to do that. Where it's just like, it's a different song.
And
but
then it would
nowhere.
Just like come on the entire band.
Yes. With tinfoil. So like mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Or other things you keep in tinfoil. Yeah, if you were to come like mashed potatoes, would you ever go hungry?
Or it would be like vanilla pudding?
You could keep, yeah, yeah, okay, okay.
But you're saying like because it's leftovers.
Yeah, well, I don't know. When I think of tinfoil, I go to...
Like a baked potato.
Like a baked potato, but no, if you're like putting pudding in the fridge to set overnight, yeah. Probably wrap that in tinfoil.
Maybe.
This is the best episode of Five Men ever. Did you really not like the episode this week?
No.
No, here's the thing. I think this is a great episode. Should we break it down before we analyze it, or can we just shit on it first?
Break it down now.
Bah, bah, nah, dah, dah,
it says,
dah.
Okay, James wrote me an outline of what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
And it says, ask
did we do the warm open
Sean
yet?
About high school.
Okay, so we're never going to talk about the episode. Perfect.
Like, what genre of teen were you?
So, do people know who I am? Should I be like, hey, I'm Sean. Host a different podcast
Sean.
On this network.
They know that you're Sean. Okay.
I got nervous about my own existence. That happens.
I mean, if you want to plug stuff right now, just totally fucking break the format.
I'm sorry. I got scared I existed.
I mean, it does say intro Sean, and I didn't do that.
Okay.
Do you it's Sean. Girl,
hi.
Shuffling the deck.
Yes.
The podcast that I don't enjoy because I have to hear about ICP more than I would like to.
Fair.
Which is at all.
No. Did you know they're a much better band than I thought?
Yeah, I've heard.
Your partner turned me into a juggalo, and I will sue for recompense. Recompense.
Defamation?
Yes. No. Just general, I guess, emotional damages would be the technical term.
Okay. Yeah.
Hi. I went to high school. What kind of... what genre of teen were you in high school? Because that's like a weird... I feel like that's... It's never... I don't know if high school has ever been as much like how it is in the movies, where it's like, oh, I sat with this table and this table. I've never known a high school like that. It's always kind of been like, well, okay, I'll describe the table I sat with at lunch.
Yeah.
So I would do theater and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I went to an all-guys school. So it was chill as hell, actually. I didn't really get bugged for being a theatery kid. But I was also never hard into theater. Like, when I went to college and I studied acting, that's when I met, like, theater kids from high school. I was just, like, a douchebag who wanted to do Will Ferrell impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, fall down a lot for comedic effect. And then at lunch, though, I would sit with our buddy Matt, who was just kind of a real sexy... whatever kid. He was like laid back, like whatever.
So you were with the kids that like to do physical comedy.
No, I sat with stoners. And then I would fall down because I wasn't smart enough to be funny like they were.
Got it. Well, it's also just like really easy to make stoners laugh.
I think so. I mean, yeah.
So like maybe it just didn't challenge you enough.
No, but it's also like laughing's supposed to be easy. Like, I love a good heady comedy. I love the wit of the bard and shit. But also, if like a baby poos his pants and then says, that's a spicy tomato, that's funny. Because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have to mean anything to just be funny, I think. So like, I like getting those easy laughs from my like stoner countercultural friends. That's the thing, and they weren't all like, some of them were like the smartest fucking dudes I knew. They were just very much like, hey, this is all kind of bullshit. Like, none of you are a libertarian. And they're like, not yet. And I'm like, cool. Because it's weird. That table goes on to either be like aggressively progressive or like kind of gets caught in the libertarian trap. So like, I'm not sure. I feel like a couple of them might have turned into libertarians. I think most of them ended up pretty chill though.
Long story short.
What?
You were with the stoner kids.
I guess that's the table. Yeah. I wasn't a stoner at the time or a drinker or anything. I just, those are my friends.
I was I guess with the like queer kids that all shopped at Hot Topic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Dude, I wish we had a Hot Topic. We didn't have any openly queer kids though, which is like bullshit. Because you find out years later, it's not that we didn't have queer kids, obviously. It's that we had a very repressive Catholic school.
Yeah, I mean that definitely is a major factor.
Yeah, no. That's why we had like there was one my entire 4 years. It wasn't a big school, but still like 300 boys. Like we had one openly queer student in the drama department.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, how was like, but it's like, you look back, like, South Buffalo is a very weird neighborhood. We had a lot of gym class heroes too. A lot of like, they wouldn't try hard enough to be athletes because they liked drinking on the weekends. But they definitely, we had a lot of sports teams. None of them were good. And then we had a lot of like kids who were like gym class heroes.
Yeah.
That's not to say we had zero athletes or zero people who took that seriously, but it was just like, it was such this weird bro-y culture at my school mm-hmm. and the neighborhood I kind of went to high school in. That's the thing. So it's like, was I a theater kid? Yeah. But we had a theater program, but we didn't have any real theater kids, you know? We didn't have anyone that's like, I'm going to read Shakespeare and all I do is watch musicals. We had a couple of people who dipped toes into it, but it was so much like theater. If you know theater kids, that's not really a hobby. That's a lifestyle, I feel like.
I mean, when I think of a theater kid, those things that you said, that's not what I think of. I just think of, I don't know, they're all just like super chummy and outgoing and like class clowns or just like super chill and cool.
Oh, you don't know how much that warms my heart for you to call theater kids chill and cool. I've never considered the word chill and theater kid together. Because like theater kids are like, they're cool, but like theater, I think a lot of theater kids kind of have this like attention seeking aura about them, which is inherently unchill.
Well, that's why I also threw in like class clown.
I think that's fair. All right. So I was like somewhere between theater kid and stoner table. In school, I'd be with the stoner kids. And then after class, I was usually with the theater kids. And I wasn't the funniest kid in school, but I wanted to be. And then when I found out I wasn't the funniest.
No, I
just became a mild-mannered dick. Once I learned that the game, the class clown game was who can really just shit on other people harder. Like, that's what it was. Like, I didn't get class clown. I got most sarcastic.
Okay.
In the yearbook end of things.
Hey, at least you got something.
Yeah, small school.
Oh, okay.
Again, I didn't. It was so, I don't know, man. When you're like the only sober kid and everyone's kind of showing up to class like hungover, it's easy to shit on them from a verbal point of view.
There was this one time where a kid like showed up to a class and they like knocked over their water bottle and they're like, oh shit. And then they just left for the day because it was, we were pretty sure it was just like full of alcohol.
That's a great way to handle that, though, actually.
They're just like, fuck, and just left.
That's like super, I don't want to be here to begin with. This day is already fucked. I'm out. You know what? I'm out.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I think this will be like better for you, definitely better for me if I just kind of skedaddle.
Yeah.
I respect that child so much. I hope.
I did judge them. I was like, yikes.
Were you a straight edge kid? Were you a sober bober?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, like I feel like I've been saying this a lot lately. I was a scared child. I was that kid that was just shy and didn't talk at all and read books.
Okay.
And just didn't talk to anyone.
I think I was like that in middle school. Definitely like early middle school. But by high school, I was like desperate for attention.
Yeah.
Because I started writing jokes. I knew I wanted to do stand-up or something like that by like seventh, sixth grade, somewhere in there. And I think by that point, I realized, oh, I can't be reclusive or else I can't perform in front of people. Like, I need to invite people to the show. And that not as a metaphor, like literally I would have to invite people to a show for me to do what I wanted to do at the time. So like, I feel like by seventh, eighth grade, I was like, hey, let me be cool and hang out and be popular.
I have to trick people into coming to my stand up by befriending them first.
I need to make people think I am one of them, that I possess the human genome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they will accept me and invite me to fun birthday parties.
I needed to
infiltrate my way into these flesh bags known as mortals.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I could shit in their sandbox and write a 5-minute bit about it. Because that's like all class clowning was.
Shit in their sandbox.
And then you blame it on them.
Okay,
I feel
okay.
like yeah, that's yeah. a huge part of like class clowning was just being the... being the meanest kid in class.
Yeah, I feel like I get frustrated with like how people write bullies in shows and stuff and how people are like and bullying or whatever. And I'm like, okay, but you need to know how to like recognize what bullying is, which is just how I've explained it is like making jokes and whether or not you are friends with that person. Because if you're not friends with them, fuck you, you're an asshole. And they're like making fun of you.
Yeah.
They are bullying you. If you are friends with them, it's fine because you're friends with them. Like you know where that line is and you're comfortable with like giving it back to them.
That's the huge part. Are you comfortable giving it back to them? Because I knew people who would befriend you, I'm using air quotes for the podcast listeners, but just as a way to make jokes about you and have enough people on their side to start, like they would bully, they would manipulate, they would use friendship as a manipulative tool so that they could bully you.
Yeah.
Or they use bullying as the manipulative, like they weren't real, like that, like that's a part of it. Cause like there are friends who we would go back and forth bullying each other in the most loving way possible. Love them all to death. I would bully them or be bullied by them to this day and have a wonderful guffaw. And then the people like I look back on, I'm like, oh, we were never really friends. You were a very manipulative person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that sucks. And I feel like I don't know how you learned that. I think that's why I can't think of a better example. And it's been years, but like a movie like Mean Girls was. Like, if there's any reason to, like, hold Mean Girls up to any sort of historical pedestal, it's because it's one of the very few pieces of media that portrays bullying more like as a tool of manipulation rather than I'm just mean because I have to take something. I was like, no, it's like they're trying to sometimes it's someone being mean because something is going wrong. So they just have to take out emotion. Maybe it is just as simple as releasing steam. Some people are just like, it's way more. It's manipulative. It's you are my friend. And what I understand your friendship to mean is that I can use you and, you know, put you down and use you to elevate myself as opposed to being an actual friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like that's something. And it's weird. It's like, I don't know. It's hard to kind of recognize that until like you just have to listen. You really it's self-awareness. Listen to yourself. If they're bullying me, am I laughing to bring it back to what you said?
Yeah.
It's yeah.
And, you know, but also, like, recognize it in yourself.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everyone's maybe fallen into that and done that, whether it was intentionally mean or not, in, like, making a joke at, like, someone else's expense. And it's like, just don't do that.
Yeah. And it's weird. It's not weird. It's don't do that, but also accept that, like, we have all done that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's important to learn from that and to actively do that less, but to also not beat yourself up over it. Just kind of be open to like understanding when it happens. And sometimes you won't catch it at all. And hopefully you should have cultivated a friendship that is healthy enough that the other person feels comfortable going like, hey, I don't think you realized, but that actually hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to cultivate that kind of relationship from day one. Like that's a very vulnerable thing to say to a person. It's not super easy. If you do say that to your friends, that's awesome. Continue to have those conversations because those are good conversations. and then be open to receive that, but also be the kind of friend that, like, the garden of your relationship. Make sure you fertilize the earth well enough to receive that statement.
Gross.
Fuck you. I'm inspirationally shit.
Fertilize the earth, dude.
Take a soil enriching dump in your garden of relationships. That's good advice. I'm fucking killing it over here.
Fucking great advice. How did we get here?
I'm gonna rip off
Dr. Phil's
face.
We started talking about
high
school, and I feel like that's traumatic for anyone.
Yeah, high school. How were you with high? How do you feel about high school?
Oh, it was miserable.
I think I half liked it.
Coupled with like untreated depression and all of my hair falling out when I was 12. It was pretty fucking terrible.
Oh, geez. I didn't realize it was 12. I don't think I've never asked about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't talk about it that much, so.
Fair enough. I feel, yeah, that's a good reason to fuck high school.
I hated it.
At 13, too. I feel like 13 was like right when I lost a lot of weight. And then like I was super popular. And I had sex with Jennifer Aniston, who was popular at the time.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty chill. Yeah. That was my high school. Yeah, shut up. It's true. You don't know. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've done.
Yeah, and I... Mm. Wait, is that a reference to something?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, I thought you were just like saying the plot of a movie.
That's the plot of this episode, wasn't it?
Sure.
Okay. Would that have been a better plot than what we watched?
And I did that same thing, but with like, I don't know, Zac Efron or something.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I guess we have to talk about Five Man or whatever.
Yeah. I guess I was kind of referencing that Abe Simpson when he's, and we wore turnips on our belts, which was popular at the time. I might have been referencing The Simpsons a little bit. I'm trying to avoid talking about Five Man.
Okay.
But we have to.
Yeah.
Or we could talk about The Simpsons.
Nah.
All right.
James would be so mad.
Oh. No, it's the best podcast ever.
It's the best episode. We're going to get killing so it. Many listens, and he'll be like, what the hell?
I have Scott Aukerman. I almost called him Roderick. That's not a name. Scott Roderman is at my front door crying right now. Please stop podcasting. You're too good. Ben Schwartz has cocooned himself and refuses to leave until you stop podcasting. You're peaking the entire comedic premise of Earth. Get the fuck out of here, Scott Roderman. I don't give a shit. Me and Nicole are crushing this noise.
Get out of here, Scott. Robble rims. Get out of here, Howard Kramer, with your secret house and your summertime religion.
Does Howard Kramer have a secret house?
There's like a bit that he just won't let anyone go inside his house.
Oh, no, okay, yeah. I hear we're podcasting so well. He's going to give us his house. Not just even invite us in. He's giving us the house.
Holy shit. Actually, I don't know if he... Does he live in a house?
I mean, he
might be in an apartment. I don't know. He calls it... Because he calls it Dragon Manor.
So it might be a manor.
It might be a full manor.
Or like a series of tunnels under Los Angeles.
AKA the sewer.
Well, you could say that. It's covered in poop. Water flows through it.
Or the secret catacombs.
The secret catacombs, where they buried his ancestors.
No, instead of bodies, it's full of cats and combs.
Are they just very well-brushed cats?
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, cool.
The fuck?
We gotta talk about this episode at some point.
Okay, fine. There's like a big ass satellite and there's singing happening.
Here, hold on. Let me... how it starts.
But I think it's a spaceship. But I wrote down that it was a satellite.
It looks like a satellite. It's very... I wrote down a phallic nose spaceship.
Yeah.
Lands. But there's like this whole... by the way, before this episode started, because I've only done two five bands. This is only my second five band.
Mm-hmm.
So this is only the second time listening to that theme song. I'm like actually in love with the theme song. I touched on it before. I told you why I loved it. It's just very interesting that this is the episode where I realize like, Jesus Christ. Like my first note is that wow, my brother, my sister line is insanely catchy. I'm in love with it. Why'd I bring that back? I don't know. But yeah, the spaceship is coming down. Spaceship looking satellite. And there's this song playing overhead. They don't explain it. There's just like this song about James Dean and heroes that's just constantly being played on loop. The overall message of the song is, hey, baby, you should sleep with me because I'm a hero. So that means I ain't going to just fucking leave. Like that's the theme of this song. And everyone over the countryside is swooning just over this, like, oh my God.
Yeah. And hero is in all caps.
Yes.
In the subtitles for some reason.
Because they want you to know he's the good guy. He's not the good guy. The people, the spaceship singing this song are not the good guys.
He's not. He's the bully. Oh, it relates to earlier. We did it.
Thematic callbacks, baby. We're not just about five men. We're about
purpose.
Your life. Mm-hmm. Pre-planned. We have scripted this podcast out meticulously. Cut out the so, James. I sound unprofessional.
Don't do it. Leave it in.
You son of a bitch.
Add an extra one.
No. So this spaceship lands. I just ransacked the notes. Is that okay?
I don't know what that means. So sure.
Like the synopsis. You were doing the synopsis very well, and then I, as a person who talks over people very frequently, have begun talking over you.
Yeah.
Would you like to do the synopsis?
No, I mean, I pretty much already did it like
an hour ago. Okay, well, I'll do it on air then.
So you do your version.
Sure. Okay. And that version, your version of the synopsis will live forever in the cloud.
Was everyone sings poorly the end.
All right, I guess I could go a little deeper. So the spaceship touches down and it beams down a series of menacing monsters that are very evil but sing beautifully. At this point, by the time they touch down, there is a throng, a full crowd of women and the five men who are like, what's going on? Let's meet up with them. The two five men women are swooning as well. They can't help themselves.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't doing a synopsis. I was just like going through my notes.
Should I do? Do we still do? James does like a synopsis on these sometimes, right?
It's fine. I don't know. No?
Doesn't he? I thought he did. Okay, I'm making that up. All right, then we should just go through our notes. That sounds like a much better way to do this podcast.
100 plus episodes of this podcast. I don't fucking know, dude.
That's fair. He does like that really like quick sort of manicky one. Yeah. And then I say, so 50,000 times. So maybe we should just go through our notes. All my notes are the actual synopsis, though.
Yeah. So it's good. We get the group gets beamed in.
Who's the group?
We get Captain Chevalier.
Of the Volt. What is the Volgir?
Volgir or Volgire crew. I'm just assuming that's their group. I feel like this person was in a previous episode, but I do not remember.
Okay. And I probably wouldn't remember because I've only seen one other episode.
Yeah.
All right. I guess. And they mentioned something about him, like the bad guys on the home base are like, he's even higher ranking than someone I didn't write down. And they're going to be actual fans who'll be very mad at me for not. But he's a big deal, and he's come out of retirement to join this new group led by a singing galactic warrior, Kurogan, which means cricket. And I'm going to ask a James question. Hey, Nicole, if you were a cricket,
you have to make it sexual for no fucking reason.
What kind of pants would you wear?
That's not sexual.
I said sex at the end. That makes it sexual.
All right, then I'll do the James thing and say I would wear pants to come in.
Oh, it'd sex.
Fill the pockets just wah. Full of cum.
Wow. Actually, hold. Ew.
And then just throw it at people like.
Stop. No.
What is it? Bobby Hill pocket sand style.
Bobby Hill pocket sand.
But instead of yelling of pocket sand, I would yell babies.
Are they just blind people in the face?
Yeah.
With your pockets full of cum. Okay.
You're welcome, guys. You got your gross bullshit that James always brings to the table.
We got the quota. Yay. So speaking of this episode of Five Man.
Oh, yeah.
I have no transition back. But Corrigan leads the Hell's, or he's with the Hell's Chorus.
Yeah, they really love hell in this show.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty neat.
Dude, so unrelated, but I've been going back on some of the early 90s All Japan Pro Wrestling scene, which is the Four Pillars, which is this like legendary, like best era of wrestling. This is the Stone Cold Steve Austin of Japanese Puro Wrestle, right? And I didn't grow up with this. I didn't know this. There is a team out there called the Hell Demons Army, and I'm in love with that name.
Hell yeah.
Dude, Hell Demons Army, even if you didn't know what it was, you saw a t-shirt that said Hell Demons Army, I want to hang out with that person.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know what your scene is, but that style sounds fucking dope.
But that's pretty sick.
Kind of how I feel about Hell's Chorus. I'm not going to lie. Just like as a name, if that was on a t-shirt and you didn't know it came from this weird episode of Five Man that had admittedly zero plot. There really nothing happens in this episode.
I mean, yeah, if they all had like a cool matching t-shirt, I would be like, get me one of those.
Dude.
But they didn't. Would be,
you know what? But we have the power of imagination and time. What is the Hell's Chorus logo look like? I feel like we got like, so you have to get like heavy metal lettering, right?
Yes.
I like mean, Cannibal for sure. Corpse style.
Maybe it's like a flute that's red and looks like a penis.
Okay. All right. We already hit the pockets full of cum quota, Nicole.
And it's on fire?
Okay. Hold on. I went negative way too soon. You said a flute that looks like a penis that's on fire?
I'd wear that t-shirt for sure. Yeah, no, I would not wear that.
No, but you know who would? Literally everyone.
Literally.
All right, cool. So the Hell's Chorus, a.k.a. Penis Flute on Fire.
Uh-huh.
Red Penis Flute on Fire, excuse me. They land. It's weird. And they got, like, in very interesting. Man, like, I feel like some of these monsters were super interesting designed. We barely see them.
Yeah, they show up every now and then in episodes as just kind of, like, filler characters, but I'm pretty sure they're all modeled after like vegetables or some shit.
Man, they should like, because they didn't even get like a sort of like zoom in and then their names under them, like a nameplate. Yeah. They didn't even get that. And it's, but so, okay, they don't talk about in this episode, but the vibes I'm getting is like Corrigan was the leader of the Hell's Chorus. And then, and they talk about this, Chevalier was the first, the reason he's first captain is because he was a member, he was a leader of a different troop during the Galactic Conquest, the first one, and they won, he retired. He was living all lavishly, getting pampered, wine and women, and then he apparently just got bored of that and was like, you know what, I'm going back out there. And I feel like he sort of took this troop over from Corrigan, like maybe, like, it's like almost like if Frieza just took over the Ginyu Force. And now Ginyu just has to kind of like stand on the side and be like, hey, this used to be about me. Frieza says, shut up, Ginyu. Like, I feel like they don't talk about it, but that's the kind of like sort of steez I'm getting here.
Okay,
of just like, yeah. I think Chevalier just totally stole Corrigan's thunder. And that's not okay because he's a cricket that plays the violin. That's dope.
He manipulated them with his bullying to become the leader.
And so, true. And Corrigan is the one with all the talent and skill who's being manipulated for his talent and skill. He gets none of the gains. He just has to. He's what's holding this band together. This is like this is fucking David Lee Roth and Van Halen all over again, and that's bullshit.
But it's weird that they don't establish, like, I don't know, like the rules of their singing. They're just like, I'm gonna sing that he's big now, and he's big now, and it was weird.
I wonder. I'm not a master of like plot structure for Sentai episodes, but because Chevalier becomes such a is a major character. This isn't a throwaway character. He comes back. If we could have gotten a two-parter, but I don't want to have too much exposition. I just wanted to know more about the Hell's Chorus. We spend a lot of time learning about Chevalier. Almost all of our exposition time is spent on Chevalier, and Hell's Chorus, at least from a visual standpoint, is so much more interesting.
Yeah.
The fact that they are like a galactic elite squadron of mercenaries, and we know nothing about them. An elite squadron of galactic mercenaries whose primary weapon is the power of music. That sounds cool as hell. Shut the fuck up, Chevalier. I'll say it right now. You're not the most interesting person in this room. And I throw the shade upon you. Shade thrown, sir. Consider the shade thrown.
Sorry, I'm looking up Korrigan because I swear I've seen this character before, but the wiki only says episode 28. So maybe, I guess not. I don't know.
Well, real quick, I feel like this also, like another thing for this being a two-part episode, I feel like he goes giant real quick in this episode.
Yeah, it was definitely not normal.
No, like normally, yeah, because that's like I feel like generally is third act shit, right?
Yes.
That's when they go giant.
But they gotta switch it up.
They're barely out of the, which is true. And I'm sure like as a child and like emotionally watching this, it would make this episode feel very fast. Like I think as a kid, I would like this episode because I would just be so kind of in. Yeah. But like you look back on it and it's like there's really no, the only plot here is Chevalier. And we should talk about him and the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah. Even she is horny for this captain.
As fucking hell. It's ridiculous.
She cries a tear.
A single tear. And everyone's like, yo, she's gushing on that captain right now. This is ridiculous.
You could fill pockets.
Get out. Nope. Pockets full of vanilla pudding. No.
Yeah.
That is not what this podcast is about. It's always been what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
It's what this entire network is about.
The core. Yeah.
It's the fucking porno core. Ha! Cha-cha-cha. Giggity-giggity-giggity-giggity-giggity goop. By Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
I like the glasses adjustment. Well done.
But I like shake them.
Yeah. And I feel judged. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, because like for me, it's like when you get excited and it's like the camera is like shaking, but only I see it.
True. That's accurate. That's a good point.
So it's really just an effect for me.
Well, okay. Did it help?
Yeah, it's great.
Fucking A. So yeah, I keep not writing down her name. I just keep calling her Aurora Borealis.
I mean, I just call her Hair Lady, so.
Hair Lady has this pre-existing relationship. I think the whole, but kind of like, yeah, not a lot of plot. We just find out that he comes out of retirement because I heard you were in trouble and I'm going to fucking make your day, baby. And she's like, and that's, so we don't know about their pre-existing relationship. Just again, he was a war hero. In the original Conquest, and presumably they fucked?
Yeah, it's like show don't tell, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, which I guess they do. The single tear could be a metaphor for female arousal. I couldn't think of a better way to put it. I'm sorry.
Or like he broke her heart.
Maybe he broke, that's much better.
Or it's unrequited love.
I like that. You know,
she likes him, but he doesn't like her.
You know my favorite part about that theory? It does not involve me saying the phrase female arousal.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part about that theory. That's also, that would be fucking interesting as hell. But then we need like, and it's cool. So like, jumping ahead, we'll go back to it. But they fight, Five Man wins. He gets away. So this is a to be continued. This is, they are planting the seeds of Chevalier in this episode.
I'm sorry, but I have just like a really important question.
Okay.
Sean, how do you fuck in Aurora Borealis?
I mean, I should have known when you opened the question with an apology. How do I fuck in Aurora Borealis?
Yeah, dude.
With all the colors of the wind,
okay,
Nicole.
Shit.
Come on.
Do you just get like a fancy flashlight and you wave it around? It's like a flashlight, but it's an actual light.
It's like light. It's a light flesh where it's the they flesh like, is the light, and that's what fucks.
Their friend like goes into the captain's room and they're like, what is this for? And he's like, oh, you're not supposed to see that. It's just like a regular flashlight.
I think my favorite thing becoming friends with you, like both of you over the years, is like the first time meeting you guys on the episode and being like, James is wild, Nicole is chill as hell, and then yeah. And then like getting to know you guys, going to more episodes, you're just like, you're both fucking menaces.
Yeah,
both of you are absolute nuisances to society.
I'm like secretly weird. Like I have to warm up to you, but the more you laugh at my weird shit, the like weirder I will be.
For true.
So it really just depends on the person.
I used to think I was weird. I might be a Puritan. Because I feel like every time I come on these episodes, I'd be shocked and offended.
Nah, you're pretty weird, dude.
Not even close.
You're pretty fucking weird. I mean, you're friends with us, so.
I'd fuck Madel with all the colors of my pee.
Oh my God, I thought you said my dog.
I would never fuck my dog. Don't clip that out of context. I would never fuck my dog.
And I was like, why are you singing this?
Because I would never fuck. That's how much I would never fuck my dog, is that I would sing it because that's how emotionally strong I feel.
Do you about have
not
any
fucking
pets?
My dog? No. Well, no.
What do you mean, well? It's
Don't
not
worry
a
about
maybe.
That. I'm
answer.
Allowed to have secrets.
I'm friends with the neighborhood squirrel.
Right, but you can't. But it's hard to call him my pet. He's our pet.
Okay. Okay.
Also, I've grown a homunculus in the basement.
Oh no!
So this, I can't even go back to this episode. I can't transition out of that because there's really no plot. I will say, as far as okay, so like 1 to 10 on a scale of tough bosses. For a Five Man, Giant Kurrigan and the Hell's Chorus is kind of up there.
Just because it feels like it's one of those video game bosses or whatever where it's like some bullshit thing you have to do where like you try to fight them and nothing works. And then it's like, oh, you have to, what was that regular show episode? It's like you have to beat them by throwing furniture at them, not hitting them. Like that's what it feels like. Some bullshit
absolutely.
Thing.
I was going to say, or the Scaleless, but the dragon from the first Dark Souls game who like is invulnerable. You fight him the first time and you can't touch him because you have to fight him a second time after discovering his crystal and breaking it. Well, and the big thing, actually not even that, is because it's also like, it's not that Kurrigan's invincible. He just has a very strong technique with the Hell's Chorus where there's a wall. They create a literal wall of sound. Welcome to the Mafia. So like, but like he creates this wall of sound that every time you get close to, it reflects, I think it reflects projectiles. The actual robot can't get close to it. So you're just kind of like, well, fuck, what do I do? Arthur gets a little shine spot where he has to like basically buy time for the Five Bad Robot to reboot. Then I didn't get this. So I'm going to ask the fans. So at one point, because some of the teams suggest that we combine the two robots so we're more powerful, you know, like every Sentai ever. That's that I buy. That feels like kind of part of the universe.
Yeah.
is that these two robots combine and now they're more powerful. Red's like, no, we'll show them the power of sibling robot fighting. And they win. It works.
Yeah, Sean.
But
duh.
That doesn't. But that,
sibling
that wasn't
robots.
That wasn't set up. Maybe it was set up in a previous episode. That felt like it came out of nowhere. It's like,
I didn't know they were sibling robots until today.
They go out of their way. I feel like they say it like 3 times in 5 minutes. Just sibling robot power.
Yeah.
Oh, I walked in on my sibling robot and then I came pockets.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been watching. Listen.
You've been
watching. I don't actually have anything to say.
A lot of.
Don't say it. No, nobody say it. Nobody, all you listeners at home, don't even think it. I don't watch nothing.
Don't say it. Don't think it.
Don't say it. Don't think it. Live pure. Live true. We are. I stare at a wall and I eat saltines.
What the fuck?
I feel like that came out of nowhere and made. And honestly, like, let us know, because I have no idea, thematically what that means. Were sibling robots fighting together?
I was like, any of that. It kind of makes sense because the five men are siblings.
Yeah, but it's not like Chevalier was ever like, by the way, siblings suck.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, it kind of comes out of nowhere. It's like, what do you say about my sister? I said your order was ready, sir. Don't fight me right now. And it's a cool plot point, like a cool sort of thing, obstacle for them to overcome if it was set up at all. Like, why not save that for another episode where someone calls you out for being siblings or something? Like, this was, it's weird because this episode was all about Chevalier, that moment.
Yeah.
That felt felt unearned, and it detracted from what you were trying to do with this episode, which should have been just setting up. That could have been replaced with backstory on the Hell's Chorus, because that's what this episode was about. It wasn't about sibling robots until the very end when they decided that it was. I don't know.
No, yes, I totally get what you're saying. They should have wrote that into the conflict. Like, yeah. It's like, oh, we're gonna show you the power of siblings, and it's like that's cool, but like, okay,
cool,
I guess.
Story, bro, but yeah. I don't give a fuck. I'm having sex with the Aurora Borealis and I'm not gonna call her tomorrow because he's a bad guy. That hero song is bullshit. Chevalier's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so do you think, did it succeed in setting up Chevalier as a credible villain? Like, if you kind of kayfabe it and child brain for a second, are you afraid of Chevalier as an enemy to the five man, to our beloved five man squadron?
Kind of, but also. Yeah. So my issue again is them not establishing what his powers are exactly, because I'm like, oh shit, he can just make this person big by just singing it. Like, that's kind of a big deal. And then
I missed that. Yeah, because how do they usually, it's like a pillar. No, it's like they send the
Michelin man.
Yeah. That's a very, wow.
So I was holy shit. And then I feel like the five men didn't really react adequately to that, because that's kind of terrifying and shows that he has a lot of power.
Yeah.
But they also don't really, I guess the only limits to it are singing the five man theme song.
Which is a big, this is true. We should talk about that for a second.
I feel like I just don't. There's no. It's just nonsense. It's like a literal child wrote this episode.
Truly, especially with Okay, so I've been watching a lot more wrestling, in general in life, especially for Shuffling the Deck to talk a podcast about Juggalos. But secretly, I talk about wrestling every week. But it feels like five man. Are no selling the severity of that for Chevalier. Like, they need to react to that. They need to be scared of that. And it's like they'd almost, yeah, it feels like a child didn't want to, it's like subconsciously was like, but I don't want to make the episode all about Chevalier. I want to make the five, I want to make an episode about Five Man. And it's like, no, this is one of the few times you do make the episode all about the villains. Like Five Man, at no point did Five Man feel like the main character. It felt like Chevalier, but it also felt like they were never ready to fully push Chevalier.
Yeah.
Into I didn't clock that at all. And that's ridiculous. I probably should have. That is a big deal. Like, and it should, and it's because it's episodic. This is my second episode. I kind of forgot about the Michelin Man stuff. You should have made it clear to me, who's just tuning in for the first time, maybe, the fact that he can do this out of nowhere is a big deal. Unless the writers just don't think it's a big deal anymore. But guess what? It kind of fucking is. You know, obey the rules of your world, or else you got a real loose world. You got from a world building perspective. If you don't obey your rules, you got a loose, stinky world.
Loose, ew.
A loose, stinky world. Why, ew? What's wrong
That's
with it?
It's disgusting.
I agree. It's bad storytelling on top of it.
But yeah, it should definitely have at least been two episodes.
It feels like it needed that. If you wanted to tell a story, if you wanted to tell the moral Five Man sort of story, you know, where they learn a moral and they overcome. If you wanted to do it, it needed two episodes because you tried to cram it all into one and neither gets paid off.
Yeah.
The sibling thing comes out of nowhere. The fact that they overcame and beat Chevalier in this episode or Kerugan in this episode doesn't feel earned. And we don't learn enough about Hell's Chorus. We don't learn really why he got bored and decided to break retirement. Which, like, I get it's a children's show, but that doesn't mean you can be bad at writing. Yeah. I don't mean to shit on this episode. I did not realize we're going to shit on this episode as hard as we did until we started recording.
It's but so like, bad.
It's really not. It doesn't live up to the hype. Like, the last time I watched, I loved that episode. And admittedly, it was a much simpler episode to write. But like, yeah, this should have been two parts. Because now when Chevalier comes back... Even from a logistical standpoint, two-part episodes means it's easier for me to remember him as a child. I will be quicker to, when he comes back on screen, I'll be quicker to be like, oh yeah, I saw that guy because he was there for two whole episodes. Or if I'm a casual viewer, it gives me an extra average, what, right? Like if I'm only watching random episodes, if there's two of them, there's more of a... If you want him to feel like an important deal, which it sounds like you want this character to be a big deal.
Yeah, and like it's, they're trying to make this like a cool boss fight with none of the lead up. And yeah. So it's like, yeah, like you said, it just doesn't pay off.
There are two halves of a good episode in here. But they're two different episodes, and they're two different halves, and they don't mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if we had gotten one full episode of Chevalier and Hell's Chorus where they win, like give them a bit of a victory, so that we know Chevalier's ability to enlarge and so, because that's like the fact that he embiggens him like right at the beginning of, they barely get through the first act. I feel like it's the beginning of the second act. Kerugan's huge. They should win that encounter. Then we should have another episode where they go, then next week, Five Man has to come back and like, then they win.
And like, maybe even like egg them on like, oh, the power of my entire chorus is stronger than you guys together. And then they'll be like, no, we're sibling power or whatever. So that the sibling thing comes back later and makes sense.
Absolutely. If you make Kerugan kind, if you give Kerugan the lines of I am closer to my band than you are to your own family, chorus power is stronger than sibling power, and then Chevalier is kind of in the back going, you're arrogant. I've dealt with Sentai before. You are being arrogant, sir. You make Chevalier look smarter. You make him look stronger. We get more lines for Kerugan. We understand the Hell's Chorus deal a little bit more. Like, by making it just, here is Chevalier, Sentai wins. It's just nothing gets. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst thing you can do is create a write up a script that I can't care about these characters. I'm so sorry, Sentai heads. I didn't think it was gonna be this bad.
Get fucking wrecked.
I don't know. I'm curious. I should have gone back. I should have actually listened to my old episodes because I'm going back and I'm thinking, is there ever an episode that's like did something that wanted to be this big? But well, you know what? On the American side, I feel like the introduction of the Green Ranger felt like a big deal. And it was. Mm-hmm. And they weren't afraid to, you know, give a few episodes to it. It wasn't just a one and done.
Yeah, this five man just doesn't do like long story arcs, and it's really disappointing. Like most of them are just like single episode events.
Which can work. The only episode I saw before was the circus, the Galactic Circus. And I'm gonna be honest, I loved that episode. It didn't have a lot of plot, but it didn't need it. It was structured to be episodic and kind of like pick up and throw away, which is a very valid way to do these shows. But then you can't do something like introduce Chevalier. Like you can't do something where you want to introduce, like,
yeah,
clearly this yeah. wants to be a long-term story. Is that the thing? If you want to do short one-off episodes, do that. Don't try and do this because it clearly doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or like, see, maybe, I don't know, maybe you seek out a consultant to be like, hey, we want to introduce a new character with a longer storyline. How should, like, someone should have been there to consult on how to tell a longer story if that's not what they were comfortable doing. Because mm-hmm. it's really bad. It feels like there are cool things that happen in it. The songs are fun.
I was surprised they sang the entire theme song.
And I won't lie, I loved that moment.
It was also while the bad guys were singing their song.
They're literally sing fight. If this is not what Pitch Perfect is about, I never want to see Pitch Perfect. I loved that. Like that I would just, they're singing because that it's basically a D&D charm spell. When they sing, it's charming. The overall plan is we're going to make you all dance to death with our very charming music. And so Five Man's like, oh, we'll drown them out with our song. And they have their hands on each other's shoulders and they're leaning forward singing with like their lives depend on it because it does. And then you see the Hell's Chorus are like, why is our song not work? Like, that's a cool moment. And this episode does have those. Arthur defending Five Man while the robot's down and trying to reboot. That's a cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
But as a structurally, none of these moments come together. And that's not... You might walk away with brief instances, but nothing sticks with you. It becomes even more saccharine with less fun because I can really only think of a couple of them where, like, if I go back and think of the Galactic Circus episode, all certain moments didn't really need to come together because the moments themselves were fun enough.
Yeah.
This was trying to be a little edgier, a little more serious and or dramatic at least, and none of it delivers.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my last note, was that they sing the full song.
They sing the full-ass song, and I loved it.
Full-ass song.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's everything I wanted to say about the episode. How long are these usually? Shuffling the Decks are notoriously 3 hours long.
It's usually like an hour to like an hour 15-ish.
Okay. Okay, do you want me to talk about the next Insane Clown Posse album?
No.
Great. So, Shaggy Too Dope is walking out of the store when his nuts hanging out of his left pants.
Hour 10? Yeah, so we're there. We don't need to fill in extra space. We did it, Sean.
I could talk about Shaggy Too Dope's nuts hanging out of his
Nobody
shorts.
Wants that.
Somebody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Okay.
And if they do, they can go listen to Shuffling the Deck.
Shuffling the Deck on the Mostly Speaking Sentai Network. Nicole, would you be surprised to know that was my plug?
Whoa, that was your whole plug?
Well, I mean, also, I guess you could follow me at twitch.tv/goosevonkaiser. I've been playing a lot of wrestling games. I'm trying to pick up Hollow Knight. I started playing that here and there.
That game is cute.
It's very cute. It's very fun. But then I get like halfway through, I'm like, I kind of want to suplex someone. And then I won on a wrestling game.
You got to get a Hollow Knight skin for the wrestling game.
I could. Well, okay. So I'm trying to think that out of the wrestlers, because like I could do story modes with like creative wrestlers so you can write their own story. James is flossing behind you. Do not turn around. Yeah. You son
in
of a
his
bitch.
Cheese from Foster's Home t-shirt.
Mac and cheese. Ugh. But so far we've built, we played wrestling games as Winona Ryder, like 1997 Winona Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
B. Arthur.
Alien sequel.
I think, no, that's Sigourney Weaver, I think.
No, she's a different character.
I didn't know Winona Ryder wasn't an alien. I've never seen an alien.
I'm pretty sure.
I need to see an alien. I don't think I know if I want to see the action movie one or the horror movie one. Like Alien.
I don't know what that means. Just watch scary. The first one and that's really
that's
all you
need.
That's
the scary one. I'm easily intimidated.
Then don't.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. But yeah, if you want to watch B. Arthur body slam King Kong Bundy, check out twitch.tv/goosevonkaiser.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Go do that.
Yeah.
Or we'll fill your pockets up with cum.
No.
My plugs are follow Darling Homebody on social medias. Go to darlinghomebody.com.
Yes.
And buy stuff if you want to.
It's very cute stuff. If you think Hollow Knight's cute, fuck Hollow Knight. Darling Homebody's got some of the best goddamn goods you could purchase with your money.
Do it.
Hell yeah.
Patreon.com/darlinghomebody for a monthly sticker or magnet. This month is Sun's Out, Buns Out, and it's a rabbit just sunbathing.
Hell yeah. With the buns out?
A bunny. It's a bunny sunbathing.
I don't... Does it have a good tuchus?
I don't, maybe.
I would never
like
fuck a dog.
Like Zootopia, yeah.
Okay. Yo, get the fuck out of here. Zootopia.
I
thought that with an ex-girlfriend. And the fact,
oh my God.
The fact that I think Judy Hopps is as cute as she is mostly because I miss my ex-girlfriend.
That's
not true. That's
so
not true.
Weird.
I think Judy Hopps is cute because she's feisty and she don't take no shit from nobody.
Not even... That guy that I can't think of his name.
Jason Alexander. George Costanza.
Yeah. Fuck. Okay. This is the part where I tell you the $10 patrons for the mostly Speakin' Sentai supporters.
The support group.
You got Steve F. You got... what the fuck? So it says Father Eric B. of Ranger Command Power Hour. I guess because he is now a father. Congrats.
I thought it was because he can legally bestow blessings.
Also that.
Dope.
Alex Z. Orion, a.k.a. Defoe. Two Grapes. Jordan B.
The Chaos Witch.
Joshua Jakis.
As your brother.
Yeah. Steve
yeah,
Barnes. And James's
I have to be nice to you today.
Mom, who I, in my head, call Mama Marge, but I've never asked her if that's a thing that I can call her.
I continue to give her shout-outs at the end of every Twitch stream. She has yet to subscribe.
Yeah, I think I like noticed that once, and I asked James about it, and he was like, Yeah, it's to my mom. And I was like, what the fuck?
I forgot why I started, but it's like every stream gets shouts out to Marge. So thank you.
Margie.
Margie, shout out to Margie. She's the reason I stream. She's the reason I tell jokes. She's the reason I can't do a callback to any of this episode because all of it's dirty.
I mean, yeah.
I don't want to say that about James's mom.
Yeah.
All right.
You probably shouldn't.
Use your imagination, fools.
Don't do that.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm so sorry.
Don't.
Take that back.
Okay, I guess this is the end of the episode. Nicole.
I'm Sean.
And we've been mostly speaking Sentai. P.
Motherfuckers?
No.
So Shaggy's nuts.
This has been a Marshland Media production, produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/mlmpod and sign up today.
All right. And then we shouldn't say anything else for the rest of the podcast. We should send James just an hour and a half of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, we scream, fuck you, Steve Barnes.
No!
Oh, I have like an ongoing feud with Steve Barnes. I respect them, but that makes me hate them even more.
Well, I don't like it.
Well, okay then. I'll be nice to Barnes this week.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Barnes of all types.
Noble Barnes?
What?
Animal full Barnes?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I thought there was going to be more than two Barnes. That movie with Kevin James where he was a cow?
Sure.
That's all the Barnes I can think of.
Sick.
And Steve. Oh, and I'm going to be nice to Steve as well.
No, that's the
fourth Barnes.
I'm just kidding. Okay. I guess I have to start the podcast now.
Probably.
It says cold open, warm open. And I forgot what that means.
Okay. Cold open is usually a political sketch, right?
Okay.
So you should be Alec Baldwin.
Sure.
And then accidentally shoot me in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then say live from New York is mostly speaking Sentai.
Okay. Got it.
All right. You might not be able to leave that joke in there.
Definitely not. I mean,
perfect episode.
I think he'll just cut all of this out.
No, I'm an hour and a half of nothing.
No.
Of pure silence. And we make him release it.
We make him.
We hold his buns to the furnace. And we say, if you don't want him toasted, you're going to release it there, yakko.
Yeah, he hates toast. So,
wait, toast? How does anyone hate toast except for you who can no longer eat gluten? Can we talk about that on this podcast actually? Should that get
maybe,
edited?
I don't know. Okay. Wait, right. What? Talk about what?
Your gluten.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
That's a,
okay.
Yeah, that's been known for a while, dude.
Okay.
Listen to the podcast.
It's actually been a very long time since we've talked. Oh my God. And I should listen to the podcast.
That's why
I'm sorry.
This is going to be wild.
This is great.
Okay, fuck. I have to do the thing.
Yeah,
James
cold
will
open
be
it
mad.
Mm-hmm. He's already mad.
He's already pissed.
Livid at the perfect podcast recording ever.
Okay. Today we watched an episode about singing that was bad. And robots that try to fight another big person and it doesn't work. So they have to sing again.
Everything you said has been every episode of Sentai plus singing.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Fuck. Perfect. I was supposed to say I'm Nicole and
I'm James.
I think I fucked it up.
No, you nailed it.
A lot. Okay.
This is the best podcast, not of this episode, of any podcast ever recorded.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have Mark Maron in his basement crying. There is no pie. Jimmy Pardo is like Jimmy Pardo. No, because we have ended the existence of all other podcasts with the greatness of this one.
We peaked.
It's kind of over.
Yeah. There's no point.
Wow. In like such a short amount of time, we have already recorded the best podcast ever. This is a less than 5 minute long episode.
Oh, yeah.
And then James does that weird thing where he goes,
what's up, motherfuckers?
Oh, God, no.
You listen to the show. You recognize
hold on. No, I just know things. Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Okay, okay, okay.
Oh, yeah.